Welcome to Marriage and Money, a conversational podcast about personal financial topics aimed at improving conversations about money in your marriage so you can reach your dreams together. This is a weekly discussion brought to you by a seemingly financially incompatible couple bonded by the legal contract of marriage. My name is David, your favorite saver, and I'm joined by the spender who simplifies my life, Heather.
I don't know if I believe you. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways that I complicate your life, but I'm glad you also think that I simplify
it. Yeah, there's a little of both in there. I'll give you that. And it's sometimes hard to tell which one weighs heavier, but today I'm erring on the side of simplicity.
We're going to focus on how I simplify.
We're focusing on the positive today.
Got it.
You got to focus on the positive. You don't always want to focus on negative. You know, we want an upbeat episode, and because it's such an upbeat episode, we have a great show planned for today. Today, we are going to be talking about how to make your finances easy.
We need one of those easy buttons. Oh. That was easy.
Boink. I don't know. What's the sound they make when you hit a button?
I don't know. It just says, that was easy.
Is that the Staples? Staples easy button, right? Is sure. That what it was?
Staples, you're welcome to sponsor us if you'd like, if you're listening.
we're not below or above taking Staples money. All right. I think I'm excited to be talking about this this topic because it's one of those things. Finances are one of those things that we always seem to think are very complicated, and they can be very complicated. And I don't think they necessarily need to be. I think we oftentimes in the personal finance world try to get more complex and try to be smarter than with our finances, thinking we're being smarter with our finances than we really need to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think we get nervous and scared about things that we don't know. And so if you haven't spent a lot of time learning about it, you're going to lean towards thinking, oh, this is really hard and really complicated. And sometimes finance people probably want you to think that way so that they think you think that they're a lot smarter than they really are. But here's the secret. It's really not that. I mean, you can make things more complicated. You can always make things more complicated in life. And that's why you need to focus on simplicity, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you can always make things more complicated, but they don't need to be more complicated. And
right.
What we're advocating for here is at least start with simple finances, and you're more likely to take care of your financial life and to spend time thinking about it and working on it and building it up if you have a simple platform that you're building from.
Exactly. I think I feel like this is really common in life. It's not just with finances, but I see this at work a lot too. We over engineer or over complicate things, and it's when you step back and just get down to the basics, it makes it a lot easier. And to your point, if you're overwhelmed and thinking it's too stressful, you're probably going to walk away and be like, I can't deal with that. But if you try to simplify it and make it very simple, then you're more inclined to be like, oh, that wasn't hard. Yeah, I should do that chore or I should do that thing because it's easy and you can keep up on it, right?
That's right. Yeah, there was the old mantra of keep it simple, stupid, or KISS.
Right.
And
it's still very true.
It's still very true. And I think it applies here. I think if you're able to keep this thing simple, you're going to know what's going on. You're going to be able to track it better. You're going to be able to have better conversation, more effective conversations with your spouse because you're both on the same page about what's happening. And you don't even if one spouse is more the finance person and one spouse is less the finance person, if you start with at least a core, basic, simple organization of your finances, you're both going to be pretty well understanding of what's going on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I get on the same page, just keep it simple. And then both of you, there's no reason that both of you shouldn't be able to understand what's going on.
Yeah, and that results in fewer arguments. And that's really why we're doing this, right?
Exactly.
We want you to have fewer arguments. We want fewer arguments, Heather.
That's right.
Everybody does.
All right. So what would you suggest as some simple ways to simplify personal finances, David?
Well, we
where touched, would you start?
We touched on a few of these earlier. We did an episode a while ago on spring cleaning of finances, and I think a lot of those apply here. One of those things would be having fewer savings and checking accounts, and I think that's really important because with fewer accounts to manage, there's less to wonder what's happening in different accounts. You're not tracking, oh, I've got this transaction over here and that transaction over here, and what bill is going to what card or what account, or it simplifies your life and gets all that chaos out of your head and allows you to see what's happening and not have to consolidate in yet another platform if you have fewer accounts that you're tracking your expenses against.
Yeah, I think we've seen that. And again, a lot of this stuff that we're going to say can resonate in other areas, not just personal finances. And this is something I think you and I have realized recently coming back from Singapore. And it was like when we were in Singapore, we had a really simple life, right? We didn't own our property. We didn't have stuff. And we really had a lot of freedom because we didn't have stuff, and stuff creates work and things break down and it's just more to take care of. You know, now we have three vehicles. We now have a boat. We have a home. And it's like all of the more things you have requires more attention, more work. Just like accounts, the more accounts you have, the more you have to think about, the more you have to track. So exactly. If you want to reduce and simplify your financial life, reduce.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we've done a good job of that in our finances. We haven't done so good of a job of that lately in our stuff. So right. I think that's the conversation we probably need to get into a little bit more.
But this one is on simplifying finances.
Got it.
So the next thing would be a simplified budget. Now, if you've listened to any of our episodes, you've heard us talk a lot about budgeting, and that's David's favorite tool. And it is. It is a great tool. But I think a lot of people think, oh my gosh, now we got to open Excel and it's going to have 100 lines and I got to track this and I got to track that and I got to reconcile to the penny. And it's like, no. Just start simple. You can even start with like five things. Here's the money I bring in. You know, here's some big bills. You know, housing, utilities. You don't have to make it. You don't have to overcomplicate it. It's like, just start somewhere and keep it simple. You don't need to have every 100 different areas of where you're spending money or any of that. It's like, just try to track it, but do it simpler.
The best budget, in my opinion, is the budget you're using. And
that's a good point.
So if you're not going to use a super complicated, over-the-top budget, then you're not budgeting, and that's horrific in my opinion. That's a bad thing. It can be catastrophic because you're not having those conversations then with your spouse about what you're spending that month. And so having a simplified budget, like the other said, even if it's only those five items that you might pick out, at least you're having that conversation. You're having a conversation about those five items every month, and that's a really, really valuable conversation. So yeah, your housing might be similar from month to month. Your utilities might be similar, but maybe you have a category in there for
this other.
right. And that other category might be the real thing that you need to be having conversations in your marriage about, where that money's going and why it's going there. And yeah, have those conversations. That's so good. And that's really what we want you to have that budget for. And five items can accomplish that goal.
Right. And I mean, again, you don't even have to use Excel. Just write it down on paper or whatever works for you. The point is to just get, like David said,
get started
and get something that you're actually going to use.
Love it. I would also say we could add to this list simple investing. So Heather, we've had some episodes on investing before, and we've talked about a lot of different options. We've talked about, oh, you can invest in real estate. You can invest in stocks. You can invest in bonds. You can invest in mutual funds. You can invest in CDs. You can invest in all these things. That's great, but let's start by making sure that we're using probably the simplest tools that we can to invest that are most effective. And so I would argue those would be mutual funds based around, maybe if it's just based around index funds, maybe they're index-based mutual funds where you're just pumping money in there, you're not thinking about it, they're going up in value. Most of the time, I know this year is a rough year, but it will come up. This is a great year to get into the market because it's going down. So keep investing in there. And that can be really simple. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it on a regular basis.
Right. I think investing can be really stressful starting out. But find your online tool, your online platform. You can do it from the comfort of your home. Get comfortable with the website. They're all pretty user-friendly nowadays. And to David's point, you know, find that index fund and then you just sit on it. You don't have to manage it. You don't have to be tracking it and buying and selling and trading. It's like, just get started. You don't have to put it in a gazillion different funds. It's going to follow the market. Yep, you're right. We're in a down market. It's really scary, or not scary. It's kind of sad right now, but it will go up, to your point. Now is the time to get in.
It always has gone up. So you are going to be just fine getting in the market now, and it's a better time to get in now than later. It's always better to start investing today than it is to start investing tomorrow, no matter what the market's doing. And I started, when I first started doing investing, I was investing in, I did invest in mutual funds thinking, oh, I'm going to be really safe. But I was investing in industry-specific mutual funds, having no clue what I was doing, having not understanding. I was like, oh, I like tech. I'm investing in a tech mutual fund. Well, okay, great. Yeah, technology is going to be around forever. But it was almost like tracking a stock and making sure that I knew everything that was going on that could in the market that could impact that mutual fund. And I really like now that we're in mutual funds that are not tied to just a specific industry. We're more diversified than that. So anyway, not all mutual funds are created equal. So exactly. Get some broader exposure out there is my point.
Exactly. The next suggestion we have is having an emergency fund. Now, this one, that is, the concept is simple, but the bigger thing is it's a big stress reliever. So this is a huge stress reliever for me, because having that emergency fund has taken off that stress of our financials, saying, okay, I know that we can handle pretty much any emergency and we're going to be okay because we have that fund. And because when you're in that situation, we had an episode on this, the emergency itself is going to be stressful. So at least you don't have to stress about the financial place of that. So that's how this simplifies your financial life. By having that in place, it might take some work. It might be a little stressful at first as you're trying to build it. But once you have that built, it just sits there. It's a huge insurance policy for you, a peace of mind, and you're going to be prepared.
Yeah, and it'll still hurt when that emergency comes. When you have to buy a new furnace, that still hurts, but it simplifies it in that you're not having to worry about, how do I get that money? That is a huge plus.
Yeah, and I actually just listened to a podcast the other day where a guy was talking about, that was one of the biggest financial mistakes he made, is he got into, you know, investing in real estate, and he didn't have an emergency fund in place. And so when he had a bad tenant who didn't pay rent, he had to get out and he had to redo the house. It's like he didn't have the money there, and it became all of a sudden really stressful. And so, you know, it's really important that there are going to be things that come up. You can't control that. And so that's going to take a lot of stress off of you to have that in place.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. Heather, when we were in Singapore, we simplified our finances a bit by automating some of our payments, or at least we reduced, we couldn't get the bills here in the US. So we maintained our US house. We couldn't get the bills in the mail like we were getting before. So we had to switch everything over to electronic, which we probably should have done a while ago, years prior. But this was kind of the kick in the butt we needed to get everything automated. And so I would say the notifications automated. I still wanted to manually pay it. I wouldn't have to. I don't have to. I could set it to automatically pay. And that would definitely save us a little bit more simplicity. But just having that process now where all my bills funnel in to a certain place, and I can set up rules in my email as well to identify it as a bill that needs to be paid. Google has reminders and says, hey, you need to pay this bill. That's really simplified bill payment. And I'm not wondering, oh, has that bill been paid yet? Yes or no? Is Heather paying that? Am I paying it? That's been great. I think that's been a simplification for us.
Yeah, and you said like it started in the US, but then what happened is then we set it up for all our Singapore accounts. And actually Singapore, like, they pushed it. They were really big into automation. So there was always an option, like when we set up our cell phone plan or our utilities, there was an option like right away that suggested, right? And so because we learned it on our US stuff, we just automatically then put it in place for our Singapore bills too, which was nice. And however, I will tell you, like, now that I've changed my phone plan, this is very real because I recently just went through this. And like getting notification being like, did I pay this or not? And so, yeah, it was like created additional stress. And I had to go online. And so if I just had that auto pay, it would have simplified things for me, right? And so now I think I've got it set up so I don't have to stress and worry that my phone's going to get shut off or did I pay that or not. So especially like if you travel or if you're, you know, like I travel a lot for work and stuff. It's like I'm not always going to maybe see some things in text. So it's nice to just have it taken care of.
Exactly. And then the other automatic financial movement that I really have enjoyed is how we automatically have savings set up, and it the cash just flows from our bank account to our investment savings account automatically each month to make sure, yes, we're continuing to, you know, pay ourselves, we're continuing to invest in our future, and that just happens instantly without any action on our part. And that is so valuable for me, for my mental health.
Well, and it's kind of funny because I think most people, I don't know many people that still get a paper check. So for most of my working career, like that's how I've always been paid, right? Your company just puts the money in your account. So it's like, why wouldn't you do that? To your point, you talked about paying yourself. Why wouldn't you automatically pull out your investments or your savings? Because we do that from our companies, right? Getting our income. So it's very similar.
That's a very insightful comment. Yeah, because It makes the company's life easier to automatically just electronically pay you. So why wouldn't it make your life easier to automatically pay yourself? Right. So do it. You'll thank yourself.
Another example would be to have fewer cards, like credit cards or store cards. And I know David doesn't even like have any cards, but the reality of it is you probably have a credit card. And I remember I used to have a bunch of store cards that I would have. And honestly, I wasn't a big shopper. And so that's actually what made it really stressful. Like I remember one time I actually used, I think it was a Victoria's Secret, I had a Victoria's Secret card. So I'm not shopping at a Victoria's Secret every month, you know, not even every quarter, you know, maybe a couple times a year. So I don't know why I had it. But anyway, I went in, you know, used it and I kind of forgot because I didn't use it that often. And I think I forgot to pay the bill and it was late and it was just like, oh my gosh. So again, the more cards that you have, the more bills you get, the more tracking. And then it's like, how much did I spend on this card versus this card and this card? And from a cash flow perspective. So, I mean, I know that all these credit card companies are trying to give you benefits. You get cash back and you get this and that. And that's why they do it, because they know it's not the best thing for you to just, it's easier to just have one card. So that's why they have to put a lot of those programs in place. But I don't know, just evaluate the risk and reward there, because it just creates a lot more complexity. Yeah.
Is it really worth it? I prefer to keep things simple, but I'm a simple man. So what can I say? Oh, yeah. And speaking of simplifying, being a simple man, there was a time, Heather, where you would come to me and you would say things like, oh my gosh, here are a million things I want to do and buy or build or
I still have create. That list. I just hold back from telling you everything.
You have a massive list. You have this huge list. And these are essentially like a whole bunch of mini goals. And I just want to say, Heather, we have to focus. And you've been really good as of late, you know, the past several years of saying, no, actually, we need to focus on one or two of these goals. We can't focus on all of them. And that, for my mental health, has done wonders. And it's great to be able to say, this is where we want to go next. And it's not we want to do everything. It's we want to do one or two things.
Yeah. And I think, like, I see that a lot in my professional life as well. Like, I had to recently develop a scorecard with metrics, and my boss wanted to put on, like, there was like 25 metrics. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Yeah. I do believe if you don't measure something, it doesn't get tracked. Like, if you're not going to focus on it if you don't measure it. But if you're tracking everything, like, that's too many things that you're trying to measure and track and monitor that you're not going to be successful. I think the key to success is to figure out those couple metrics or those couple goals that you're working on and go after those. Not that you can't have a list like I do, because eventually you're going to hit those goals. You're going to need new ones. So you got them waiting in the wings. And honestly, sometimes it's like a big goal and you chunk it down into little goals to get there. So you're working towards that big goal, but you've broken into the little baby bites, right? Little milestones that you're working on towards getting it. And then it makes it really worth it. Like, I just think like, I feel like we've hit a big milestone this week, like by buying our first boat. Like that has been, feels like it's been forever in the making. And like, not that we couldn't have had a boat sooner, but it wasn't the right time in life. We didn't necessarily have the funds. Sure, we could have taken out a big loan and whatever, but it just like, it makes it even sweeter to know that we waited this long. It was the right time in life. We were in the place to take care of it. We had the money. It's just like the more freedom, right? And so it's kind of fun then when you look back at those goals, but you're right.
Yeah,
you do need to focus.
And like you said, it certainly means more when you accomplish those goals and you're doing it on your own and you're not doing it with debt.
Right.
I think that's been, it's been a lot more rewarding for me to be like, oh yeah, that's our boat out there. It's not the bank's boat that we're making payments on.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, having to focus on fewer goals, I think, is a great way to maintain a simpler financial life.
Right.
So Heather, one of the things we first did when we got married was we combined our finances. So essentially we went from having two financial households to one, and it took us a couple months to get all those accounts merged and things figured out. It took us a little bit of time, but it was something we worked towards and simplified that way. And I'm not saying this is the right thing for everybody to do. There are certainly legitimate reasons why you would need to have your finances split. But if you're looking to simplify your financial life, combining your finances with your spouse goes a long way in simplifying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we've had episodes on this and we're not going to tell you what to have the best way to run your financial life and your family. You need to find the best way for you. But if you're looking for simplicity, this is definitely the best way to go, right? Is to combine it. It makes things a lot easier. You have less accounts, like we've talked about. It's clear on where the money's going to, out of.
Who's paying what bill isn't
exactly
for question. And
yeah. So you just need to evaluate, you know, maybe your situation, there's benefits to make it more complex, but just know it's going to be more complex. If you're looking to make your financial life easier, more simpler, combining is definitely the way to go.
Agreed. And if you want to make it even simpler than that, pay off all your debt. Get rid of some bills.
Just like
get rid of that debt. Because I mean, you if you've got debt, if you've got credit cards, if you've got a mortgage, if you've got a car payment, if you've got a student loan, you have all these people knocking at your door or sending you letters, giving you phone calls saying, hey, we need money. And that's something you're always thinking about. And I know that I'm kind of joking, making it sound like that's super easy to do. It's not super easy to do. It's super hard work. It's painful. But when you do it, it simplifies your life, your financial life a lot.
I think it's funny that you saved the best for last. No, but it is true. I mean, in multiple ways, right? This simplifies your life. Like A, just complexity, less bills that you're paying, you know, less things you got to remember, tracking, updating. But then the stress, just kind of like the emergency fund. It's like not having that debt, not having that hanging over you, not worrying like if your financial picture changes that you're not going to be able to make those payments or get in trouble. It's like it takes out stress and takes out complexity by being debt-free, for sure.
I love that aspect of it. So yeah, I can't say enough about that. So that would be the number one goal that I think everyone should have. If you're not debt-free, work towards that. You can thank me later.
So we want you to continue this conversation with your spouse or significant other. Do you find yourself arguing with your spouse about any of these items? If so, is there a way that you could simplify that area to result in fewer arguments or less stress? So, David.
Heather.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, how stressed are you about personal finances and why? And before you jump in to you, I think we should guess with the other person. So maybe I should let me guess what you're going to say, and then you can answer for yourself.
Okay.
Does that sound?
Okay. And then after I answer for myself, then I'll guess what you're going to say.
Yeah. Okay. I would say your number is a 6.
Wow.
I think you're a six. I think you're like, if five is the middle, so being under five is less stress, over five. I do think you tend to stress about finances, but you're not like maxed out at the high end. But I would tip you towards being more stressed about personal finance than less stressed.
I think that's actually very fair. You know me pretty well. We are married, so you know me pretty well.
What were you going to say?
I put down five.
Okay.
But I could I would say I am certainly closer to a six than I am a four. So I would say five might not even be as correct as a six is.
So materially correct. You would say, like, if five is the middle, you would lean towards being stressed.
I would lean towards the six more than I would lean towards the four. Correct. Right. So I would even put it at a 5.5. I don't know. But
so I was materially correct.
You were materially correct.
My favorite word.
Yeah. And I would say I stress about money for different reasons now. So like back when I was younger, I would say like when I was, you know, in my early 20s, I was probably like an 8 or a 9.
Yes, and I would agree.
And the reason for that was that I was more unsure about my retirement. I was more unsure about my future. I didn't feel like I had a great plan for how to get there, because I didn't understand investing well. I didn't understand what's the proper way to save. I wasn't sure about, am I going to be able to pay off my debt in an appropriate time? It felt like there was a lot more uncertainty then. Now I don't worry about those things, but I worry about being wasteful with my money. So I worry about like having to rebuy things, or I worry about having to fix things like we were talking about, because we have stuff and our stuff breaks.
Or like when I washed a rug that we said we would never do in the washing machine last night, you were scared that I was going to break the washing machine for the second time.
Yes. Yes. Because we had the washing machine's only a few years old. It's like, oh, we're going to break it and then we have to fix it or we got to replace it. And
not that we don't have the money, but that would be wasteful.
It's just wasteful. Right. That's the thing, is and maybe it's not even wasteful, right? Maybe fixing things isn't wasteful because you have to use things and then things break because you're using them, but it feels wasteful to me, even if it's not actually wasteful. And so that gets me to that five or that six where, yeah, maybe I shouldn't be, but that's me. So for you, Heather.
Yes.
Can I give you my number?
I would like to hear it.
I might be low on this for you. Okay, I'm saying two.
I have it typed out here, so.
I'm saying two. You're a two.
Okay.
Because I feel like you always say, well, we have the emergency fund, so if something happens, we can afford it. And you're not that worried about things, but yet, at the same time, I would say, you're concerned enough about your future to say that you're going to work on things. You're going to save for the future. You know that there's a negative if you're not financially responsible. So that's why I put you at a two rather than a one.
You know me pretty well. So actually what I wrote in here is that I would say I am normally a one, but sometimes I can get up to a three. So maybe that's where we land on the two. Is I would say I normally operate at a one, but like when we go through stressful period, like the last couple of months when we were moving, when there was a lot of expenses going out or when things come up, I am watching, I'm monitoring. I do get a little bit more stressed. Not that I worry, but it's like, to your point, I'm paying attention. We have to kind of look at things, but yeah, I think two's pretty good. And the reason, just to explain why I'm so low, here are the things that help me. Number one, emergency fund. Like you said, we got an emergency fund. I know we can handle any emergency that comes our way. Number two, we have no debt. So our required expenses are pretty minimal. Like we can cut back on some of the, you know, we spend more than our required expenses. But if we were in a situation, like our minimum expenses are really manageable, right? Number three, savings and investments. Besides the emergency fund, we have a really great savings and investments that I know if we needed to, it's there, we can tap into, right? And then finally, we both have careers that I'm confident that if either of us got laid off or lost our jobs, that we could, or got hurt, you know, disabled, like I'm confident that we could find work somewhere eventually. Maybe it's not the perfect thing, but like I know that we will be able to get an income to come back in.
We'll get a job.
And so all of those things combined, which we covered a lot of it today in our list, has put me in a situation where I don't feel a lot of stress around finances. Knock on wood.
That's great. And I think you have valid, well thought out rationale for it. And I can't argue with that. I think you and I just come from different backgrounds, I think, as well, which it takes all of that reassurance to get me from a 9 to a 5. And it probably takes that reassurance to get you from maybe at one point you were, I don't know, were you ever at a 6 or were you ever at a 5?
Down probably to 5. I don't know if I've like ever
a 1 or a 2. So yeah, I think that could be the difference there for us, is just kind of our upbringing and our money culture that we came in. But so good conversation, Heather.
Well, hopefully we helped give some people some tips to simplify.
I hope so.
Lessen the stress of your personal finances.
Yeah, we would love to hear if any of you listening out there are able to simplify your finances. So remember, you can always email us to do so at marriageandmoneypodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram at marriage.and.money. Thanks again for joining us this week. And remember that whether you're a spender or a saver, your best financial life lies somewhere in the